Good morning, or maybe just good afternoon, just gone 12 o'clock. We bid you welcome in the Saviour's name as we come to worship the Lord here today. We're not singing this morning, but we will be in the will of God singing tonight. But we will listen to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Let's hear God's word before we pray. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Kings' daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within her. Clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Amen. I think most of you know that our brother Griffith Gregg has been in hospital with coronavirus. His case is stable. He is improving. We're glad about that, and we want you to continue to pray for Griffith in these days. We had Sunday school this morning. Wesley's very seasonal in his red jumper, and the message was brought by Samuel. So we thank God for that which has gone out already today. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we worship thee. We come to the throne of heavenly grace. We approach thee through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy dear Son and our beloved Savior. We thank thee that there is one in glory that is pleading right now for us, and yet by his Spirit is present in this meeting. We know that where God's people through the earth gather in the holy and the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has promised to be in the midst of that gathering. And so we would claim that promise, and we want to know the reality of that experience today. God in the midst of his people. We pray indeed that our hearts will be drawn out after thee. Forgive us, Lord, for our many sins. Those sins even of coldness of heart and lukewarmness of spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for coming so far short of thy glory and not being what we ought to be every day. We pray that thou wilt quicken us by the Holy Spirit, that thou wilt make us alive unto God and unto his precious word this day. Prepare our hearts for this time together. O Holy Spirit, be our teacher. O Christ of the living God, sit with us in this gathering. We pray that thou wilt bless the congregation and keep us safe and well in these days. Remember our brother Griffith in hospital. We commit him into thy hands, and we pray earnestly for his recovery. We do thank thee for improvement thus far. May that continue. We thank thee for the word of God that has gone out in our Sunday school this morning, and for those who brought this broadcast together, and for the children undoubtedly who have benefited from what they have heard. We thank thee for Christ, the great gift of God. We praise thee that through him we have everlasting life. We rejoice today afresh that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we know that through him, the gift of God, we have eternal life. And Lord, we thank thee for so many in this church building and those that are listening at home today who have received Christ and have become possessors of life eternal. We thank thee that we're in Christ, and therefore the condemnation has been removed. We justly deserve to die and to go to a lost eternity, but Lord, your mercy intervened, and you came and you saved us and you drew us to yourself. I want to thank thee afresh for salvation through the blood of the cross. We pray for any who know not the Savior, maybe in this church building today or listening in at home, that thou wilt speak to them and draw them in your love and your mercy to Christ. We thank thee for the coming of the Savior into the world, and how at this Christmas time of the year, we especially remember the incarnation. We're glad all the year through that Jesus Christ came, and we acknowledge it afresh today when these things are in our minds and upon our hearts. Thank thee for the birth of Christ. Thank thee, Lord, that he came in such humility. He was willing to leave the ivory palaces of glory and to come into this world. We thank thee that he represented us in every part of his life and death as our substitute, taking our place. O Lord, draw graciously near, and Lord, may we draw near to thee, and may our communion and fellowship with God be sweet this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We bid you welcome to the house of God in the Savior's name. I'm getting signals. Everything is okay. Amen. The gremlins are gone. Does that mean that we can play the next hymn? I'm getting the thumbs up, so that's good. Well, we welcome you, and we have those that are listening in on Sermon Audio and on Facebook. I see someone listening in from Australia, and I know there's others listening in from Africa today. So wherever you are, far and near, welcome in the Savior's name. Tonight is our carol service at 7 o'clock. The congregation will be singing with the masks on, and others will be taking part. And we have all different microphones that are set up for this evening so that nobody really is using the same microphone. So everything being kept as safe as possible. I'll be here to preach the word in the will of God. And our Sunday school children will receive their selection boxes. They haven't been able to get to church, to Sunday school these days. And you can't really give selection boxes out over the internet. Very difficult thing to do. So those that are with us tonight will get that at the end of the meeting. And then the others, when they return back, God willing, in the new year, will receive theirs. Due to the Christmas holidays, the midweek service will be on Monday night. My wife said Monday night's a very strange day to have the midweek service, but that's how it is. We bring it from Thursday forward to the Monday night, and of course that is tomorrow evening. We'll have a short message, and we will get down to prayer and seek the Lord in these days with a thankful heart. Could I say that the worship service next Lord's Day, the preacher will be our brother Greg Gibson, and at the evening service, our student assistant, Simon Anderson, will be here. I'll be leading the services, but these men will do the preaching, and I want you to note the time of the service, 6:30, half an hour early, so that we can have it over by 7:30 and get you home. We're entering into that week particularly where there's going to be a curfew, and no gatherings are permitted from 8 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, that will also bring a problem for the watch night service. We had this all planned, that we would come at 11 o'clock. But again, on the 31st of December, Thursday night, just let me announce this. This is hopefully what's going to happen. At 6:30, we will have an end-of-year fellowship service. Can't really call it the watch night service when we're not here at midnight to see the old year out and the new year in. But we will come as God's people on the last day for that hour or so. And the service will begin with a short time of prayer. That will be followed by a short testimony time and a short message. And those that collect their pennies for the Whitfield College of the Bible, we always bring that in at the end of the year. So the penny jar money is due. Could I just also announce, as we look forward to the 3rd of January, the first Sabbath of the year, which is in 2 weeks' time, worship service at 12 noon, we will be bringing our motto text for 2021, and that's followed by the Lord's table. And if there's any seeking for membership, please see me as soon as you can. The annual Missionary Weekend Conference in 2021 will be postponed until April, and the suggested dates at the moment are the 16th to the 18th. So we're really living one day at a time, one week at a time, and we will look to the Lord for wisdom and guidance in the new year, but it looks as if there will be a continued lockdown in the month of January, and so therefore this will be postponed. Thank you again for your tithes and offerings and contributions to the work of God here in Hebron and also further afield on the mission field. We receive gifts, missionary gifts, for the orphans in India, a gift of £1,500, a gift of £500, and a gift to Romania of £200. I want to acknowledge that and thank those concerned. The free will envelopes are available today. You probably saw that coming in. If you get the free will envelopes, then they're available for you. If you want to get them, do see Ivor, our treasurer. Missionary Council prayer calendars are available. We want you to get this as you leave. The Let the Bible Speak quarterly is also available. That's this one. And the Current magazine. Now, this is the one, the only one that is by subscription. If you subscribe to it, your copy is there on the table as you leave. We also want you to receive a Christmas card from the Park family. Now, the seniors have already received one, and the office bearers of the church, but any who have not, please take one as you leave. There's also cards from Deborah House to the supporters, and cards from her sister Noreen McAfee to her supporters, and they're on the table. Please pick them up. Have a wee look there. Don't huddle together, just one person at the table at a time, please. Want to wish Anna Picken a happy birthday. She was 21 on Friday. I want to acknowledge that and rejoice with her. Life has gone so quickly. I remember when these children came as very young children to the church, and now Anna is 21. Also to Rhonda Glenn, who reached the milestone yesterday. We don't mention the age of ladies, but she is whatever you want to think she might be, and that could be as young as 40. But it is a significant one. 100 days of lockdown, there's just a few books left. Thank you for your contributions towards the orphan work in India. We've received this from the principal of our Bible college. We'll not take time to read it all. We'll maybe get it up on the announcement sheet. But really, he's thanking all of our congregations through the country for their prayerful and practical support, especially in difficult days of coronavirus, where it's been difficult to operate our colleagues the way that we would like to. There's also a winter holiday Bible club organized by the Mission Board and the Children's Evangelists, and that's from Monday the 28th to Thursday the 31st of December, so just after Christmas, going out at 10 o'clock each day. Quizzes, crafts, choruses, Bible stories, and more. So take a note of that, parents and children. And then there's some special meetings in the Martyrs. They're having these special Christmas meetings from Monday, tomorrow night, through to Saturday the 26th, going out each night at 7 to 7:30. And this is what's happening, sort of carol singing and wee messages that are going out with the theme of Christmas. Continue to pray for the work here and the opportunities that we have to serve the Lord, even in difficult days. Remember those that are suffering with COVID-19 and pray for the National Health Service and all those that are laboring there under continued difficult circumstances. And then, of course, the sick and the needy of the congregation. We have added Griffith to the list. We're thinking of Dr. Lindsay Wilson. Dr. Wilson has not been well for about 3 or 4 weeks. And they're not quite sure exactly what's wrong with the Lord's servant, but they're carrying out tests. Do please remember him in prayer. And Thomas McKelvey, who was taken back into hospital. Very quickly, we just want to thank you from the school in Romania that received the gifts from the congregation here. This is the school that has been set up for poor children, where our sister Emma Varan, the pastor's wife, labors as a teacher. And these children received these gifts in the past week. Photographs were sent to us. That's Emma there on the right side of the picture. I'll not take time, for I did this on Thursday night, to read this letter from the school, but they want to say thank you, a sincere thank you to all who contributed in any way, supplying the clothes and the gifts that went out. And they do say that this really has been their Christmas for these children. They'll probably not really get anything else than what we sent them. And then the Roma children from Muldamanoa, they received clothes from the container. The container was sent out there just a few weeks ago, and a consignment of clothes has been sent down to Muldamanoa, and these kids are receiving these things. So we are so thankful. If you've been to Romania as part of our outreach work, you will recognize these children, for they have been part of our vocational Bible school. And then you remember Krina, the lady whose little boy of six died, and we sent out some money to buy food for her, especially at Christmas time. And this is Krina and her family receiving the gifts that were sent. I think there was some meat, sausages and things, which will be a real treat for them. Then there was another young lady, former Deborah House girl, who's married and has this little boy, and she has received baby clothes and gifts from the congregation. I want to thank the lady who provided these gifts for her. Preaching in Pakistan this morning to this tribal people, just pray for them as the word of God went forth, that will go into their heart and do them good. And we're able to bring in Alistair Hamilton just for a little while, and he was able to pray with these folks. Reverend Harris was speaking at a special Sunday school event.
My wife, Linda.
And he's introducing his wife there, who's sitting in the background. So you see them waving. There's actually sound to this, but we'll not listen to it just this morning. These are some of the children who took part. This wee girl was reciting the scripture. And then these children are just thankful with their son's sound now. So you heard that. Happy Christmas and a happy new year. We had the Bible study with Freya's group there during the week as well. And as we said to you on Thursday night, we were able to bring Joy, our missionary in Nepal, into this conversation. And it was really good for the ladies to meet her. And again, they're signed with this, so they're going to read the Word of God.
कई मजूसी पूरब से यरूशलेम में ये कहते हुए आए कि यहूदियों का बादशाह जो पैदा हुआ है वो कहाँ है क्योंकि पूरब में उसका सितारा देखकर हम उसे सिजदा करने आए हैं आमीन
आमीन
All right, everybody understood that? Okay. It was in the Urdu language from their Bible, and she was reading part of Matthew chapter 2. So, O come, let us adore him, this beautiful carol, who come, all ye faithful, joyfully triumphant to Bethlehem, hasten now with glad accord. We're going to listen to it as it is sung from the congregation here in the past.
Oh,
Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll begin our reading at the opening verse and reading through to the 18th verse of the chapter. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to every heart. Shall we bow together, please, for a moment's prayer, acknowledging that this is thy word, dear Lord. We seek thee now in it, and for its history to be fixed in our minds and hearts, and for its application as we come to consider it, to come with power as we wait here in the presence of God. Speak to us, Lord. Open our minds, open our hearts, that we might attend unto the things of God. We pray for the ministry of the Spirit of the Lord, who alone is the great teacher. Fill me now with all the needed grace, wisdom, and power that I need to bring the message, for I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're taking that last verse which we read, verse 18, as our text today, as I speak on a great weeping. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. The Herod of Matthew chapter 2 is Herod the Great. He was a cruel man, a monster of wickedness. He was an Edomite. Hatred of Israel was bred in the bone. The wise men had come to Jerusalem seeking for the one that they called the King of the Jews. They do not ask, is he born? Or is there such a one? Because they knew that he had come into the world. They were sure of it, and they speak with confidence. And they ask, where is he born? Why do you ask? We have seen his star. What business do you have with him? We have come to worship him. Now soon the news reached the palace and the ears of King Herod. And this troubled him, the Bible says. I don't think that he was a stranger to the Old Testament prophecies which foretold of such an one coming into the world. He would have known about the Messiah and his kingdom. And so this news troubled Herod greatly. He had reigned long and successfully, and he wanted his rule to continue. This was quite strange, because Herod was now an old man, and he had already reigned for some 35 years, and the Lord Jesus is just newly born. It wasn't likely that Christ would be a threat to him for many years to come, and yet Herod is jealous of him. Those who are proudly filled with power and position cannot bear to think that there might be a successor, even a rival. And so nothing but the blood of this infant would satisfy the cruel king. The chief priests and the scribes are summoned to the palace and ask where Christ should be born, and they're able to give the answer: in Bethlehem of Judea. Herod called the wise men aside privately. He did not openly show his fear, jealousy, and resentment for the new king that was born. But under the pretense of religion, he devised a plan to have him slain. And we read there in verse 8 that he says to these wise men, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you find him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He didn't want to worship Christ. He had no interest in this infant child that was born, but to crush his rival at his first sighting. The wise men, guided miraculously by the Lord, they came to the humble cottage where the infant Christ was. They entered into that house and they fell down and they worshipped him. We do not read that they gave such honor to Herod, though he was at the height of his royal grandeur, but they fall down before this little child, and they honor him, and they present their gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God, knowing the wicked intentions of King Herod, first sent a dream to the wise men in verse 12, and they were warned by God in this dream that they should not return to Herod, and so they departed into their own country. And then he sent an angel to Joseph in the next verse to tell him to flee and to go into Egypt until that time it was safe to return. Herod had waited many days for the return of the wise men, but they did not come. And when he learned that these wise men had gone off another way, he was filled with even deeper resentment and greater jealousy. And so, in a decision of cruel hatred, he decrees that all the children of two and under should be murdered, not only in Bethlehem, but in all the coasts of Israel. It's hard to imagine that Herod could find anyone so inhumane to carry out this barbarous act. But there were wicked men living at this time who were ready to do what he requested. We learn from history that Herod was throughout his reign a bloody, cruel man without scruples and conscience. Not long before this, he had destroyed the whole Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jewish church. He had murdered them. Previously, he had murdered two of his own sons, Alexander and Aristobulus. And he went on to murder another son, Antipater, after this event. And so he was a man of brutish lust and cruelty. He orders the mass murder of the little male children simply with the intention of having Jesus Christ killed. It's hard to compute how many infant boys were savagely executed at his command, but it is reckoned that there were at least 500 male children of two and under who were slaughtered. I don't think that we can begin to imagine the carnage, the bloodshed, the sorrow, and the heartbreak that this genocide must have caused. Who can really take it in, the extent of the grief and the suffering, the anguish and the pain that must have been felt and experienced? It was one dark nightmare. Now, I've felt the burden of this passage and the weight of this text. I've been deeply confronted by its moving and impressive application. The tears of our text greatly challenged me with regard to soul winning and, of course, bringing spiritual children unto God. I thought of the scene of physical death and destruction and how awful in its separation and solemnity it must have been. And we can understand something of the application of the text here. We can enter into what these women, these mothers, must have been feeling. But then I thought of the unconverted and their spiritual death and their eventual eternal state. Our loved ones and our friends dying without the Lord. And I thought how powerful and how challenging this text really is. There is a worse tyrant than Herod, and that is sin and Satan. Herod killed the infant boys of Bethlehem, and awful and tragic as this terrible event was, it does not compare with the tyrant of sin and Satan, and what sin and Satan is doing to the souls of men today, and where that will eventually lead them. And I want to seek to apply that text in this spiritual way and challenge us about our weeping before God for those who are lost in their sin. And as I read this text and I learn of the weeping of these mothers, I want you to think first of all about the silence of the weepers. Not the weepers here, but the silence that we can hear are not here today. In Ramah, was there a voice heard? Ramah was a considerable distance from the town and the region of Bethlehem, maybe as much as 10 miles away. Rachel was buried near Bethlehem and is introduced as an ancestor mother, bewailing from her grave the distress of her children. The sound of her lamentation is carried northward, beyond Jerusalem, to this area, or to this place that is called Ramah, a fortress of Israel on the frontier towards Judah. The words of our text is a prophecy from the book of Jeremiah, as we're told here, Jeremiah 31 and verse 15. And it was used by the prophet as a figurative expression of the deep sorrow experienced by the exiled mothers of Judah, how that they were separated back then in Jeremiah's time from their children. But now it is used to describe the massacre of the infants of Bethlehem. Rachel is introduced as the representative of the mothers of Bethlehem, lamenting over their children, and their weeping is heard in Ramah. all that distance away. Such was the greatness, the intensity, the volume of the weeping. It could be heard, as it were, 10 miles away. In Ramah was there a voice heard. But I put it to you, dear people of God today, that there is no weeping, no voice of weeping heard among Christians for the lost souls of men. Today in the Church of Jesus Christ, the voice of such heartbreak over souls perishing in their sin is often not heard. Rama heard the tears and the groans and the wails of poor distressed mothers whose little boys were dashed to pieces by Herod's swords, brutally and coldly murdered before their eyes. I wonder what voice does the world around us hear from Christians today as they look on and as they listen on. Do they know that we weep over a lost world? Do they detect the concern and the burden that we have for the precious souls of men? Do they hear the sobs of the saints praying for their conversion? Oh, there's many other voices that the world hears from the church. Sometimes it's the voice of discontentment. Sometimes it's the voice of division. Sometimes it's the voice of covetousness and other things. But the voice of weeping is not heard. How we need to mourn over the hardness of our hearts and the dryness of our eyes and the unbrokenness of our quiet times and the tearlessness of our prayer meetings. We should pray for the grace of tears. Lord, make me a weeper over the souls of men that are perishing in their sin. Because, my friends, there's a great silence today. No weeping. And then I want you to think about the scene of the weepers. It's Rachel weeping for her children. It's the mother figure crying over the loss, the unfathomable, the inexplicable loss of her children. It's the scene of the family. Mothers weeping for their children. And the application is most touching and very forceful. Is there a mother here? Your children are dead in trespasses and sins. Your child is under the death sentence that the Bible speaks of. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Your offspring one day, apart from the mercy of God and salvation, will go to the place of the second death, of which the Bible speaks and describes under such vivid terms. Is there a father here? And the sons and the daughters of your home are unconverted, and they're doomed, and they're dying, dying without hope and dying without a Savior. Have we family members who are still without Christ? Mother, let me ask you, when was the last time there was weeping in your home for your children? Father, where are your tears, your lamentation and weeping and great mourning? Such are the expressions that are used in this verse. Wife, what about your husband? Husband, what about your wife? Children, what about your unconverted parents? Does your brother know the Lord Jesus as a Savior? What about your sister? Is she in Christ, or is she still lost in her sin? Oh, my dear friends, the scene of the weepers is the scene of the family. It's Rachel weeping for them. And then I want you to notice the somberness of the weepers. And this little phrase of our text says that they would not be comforted because they are not. There was no comfort for these mothers, for their children are no more. These mothers could not find comfort in the midst of their sudden grief. Their children were healthy. They were not diseased. They were not expecting them to die. Herod's soldiers marched into their homes and tore their little boys from their arms and brutally butchered these little ones with a sword. And they watched their children die. There was nothing that they could do. In a few short seconds, it was all over. Their wee boys, a bloody corpse at their feet. Life and vitality gone. No longer a bundle of joy in their arms. No more hugs. No more kisses. No more embraces. Who can describe such grief? They are not. They are not in the land of the living. They are not where they ought to be in the embrace of their mother's arms. It is beyond me to explain or to grasp the comfortless sorrow of these mothers. Would not be comforted. And we should take no comfort, no ease, no relaxation while our children and our families are on the road to a lost eternity, to hell itself. If they die unconverted, you and I will live to experience the fulfillment of this text. Would not be comforted, because they are not. What an awful thing it is for family members to die without the Savior. And then I want you to see, in the fifth place and the final place, the support for the weeper or the weepers. To the weeper over souls, there are encouragements, there are supports. There's the wonderful promise of God for the weeper, the one that we have at the end of the Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a wonderful promise to those who weep. Do you weep, dear child of God? Then here's a promise, here's a support, here's an encouragement for you. If you sow in tears, you're going to reap in joy. And then there is the encouragement that others went before us. Men of tears. Isaiah, the evangelical prophet, had a burden in his heart for his people. Look away, he says. Look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. Isaiah 22 and verse 4. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was broken over his people. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah 9 and verse 1. The apostle Paul said that he had served the Lord with many tears. He saw a great work done. He spoke, you remember, about having great heaviness. As he spoke about the burden that he had for his people that weighed down upon him. Great heaviness, a crushing weight, if you like. What can we say about the blessed Savior himself? It's Paul that tells us in the book of Hebrews concerning Christ, that in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Could that ever be said about us, dear Christian? When was the last time you offered up prayers in this way with strong crying and tears? Jesus did. And he did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He drew near Jerusalem just before his death, and Luke tells us when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. The mighty Christ of God here on the earth, weeping over the city of Jerusalem and all its lost estate, weeping there in the Garden of Gethsemane as his soul was burdened and greatly troubled, sweating great drops of blood and agony that fell to the ground, strong crying and tears. The Reverend Robert Murray McShane was a man of great tears and travail. wept over Scotland, wept particularly for his parish, that the souls of men might be saved. General Booth wept over the lost. No wonder God used him in such a mighty way. Can the mothers of Bethlehem weep for their infants and we not weep for our children and for our families? It was as soon as Zion travailed that you brought forth children. Children were not born until there was travail. And as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. There must be travail. Travailing, prevailing prayer is the only way. Oh, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God will touch our hearts today. As we think of this scene so many, many years ago, centuries ago, and yet up to date in the application, as we think of the lost and the dying, may God bring us to the place of great burden and tears and anxiety for lost souls. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, you've helped us through this service today. We've listened to the hymns. We have come to your word. There is a challenge and an application for us all. As we think of these mothers in Israel weeping over their children that were cut down so brutally by the sword of Herod at his command. And Lord, we understand that we can empathize with it. We can enter into that grief and try, albeit in a small way, to imagine what they must have been going through. Many of us in this service today have children and grandchildren. And Lord, we know that some mothers can identify even with the loss of their infants. But oh, the loss of precious souls, loved ones going out into eternity without the Lord, living around us today, and what a silence there is. No tears. Oh, Lord, burden our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to be so taken up with the things of this life that we forget about eternity. We forget about the immortal souls of our loved ones and friends. Help us to realize that nothing is more important than the reaching of precious souls with the gospel of Christ that they might be saved. And so we cry to thee for this burden of soul and anxiety of spirit that will bring us to a place of true concern, that we might be like those that we've mentioned here in the Word of God, that we're weepers over souls. Make us like Isaiah. Make us like Jeremiah. Help us, Lord, to be like the great apostle who felt that crushing weight, that burden, who warned men and women with tears to flee from the wrath to come. Oh, indeed, help us to be like the blessed Savior himself, this man who walked upon the earth, and when he did so, he wept over the souls of men. Strong crying and tears. It is said of the Savior, help us to be like him. We pray that thou wilt help us to go forth sowing in tears so that we might reap in joy. Bless this Sabbath to us. Keep us in the center of your will. Help us to abound in the work of the Lord even this day. And as we think of the special meeting tonight, O God, we just committed to thee. We pray for a real conscious sense of the presence of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Once again, we thank you for worshiping with us here in the house of God and at home wherever you are. And on behalf of the session and the committee of the church, we want just to wish you the Lord's blessing at this Christmas time and on into the new year. Thank you very much.